This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the AE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I want to thank everybody for joining us for this two-hour weekend edition on the heels of the PDAC conference in Toronto, typically the largest resource conference in the world. I unfortunately was unable to attend this year just because of having a pregnant wife and recently just moved. But in the first couple segments, we're going to get a recap of the show. I have a few interviews scheduled for next week for more people to continue to recap what they heard on the floor and what maybe some of the standout stories were, as well as some of the topics that people were chatting about. In the first two segments of the show, I am chatting with John Kaiser, founder of Kaiser Research. And John, you were at PDAC all 3.5 days. First and foremost, what was your takeaway from the attendance? The stats that I've read are about 24,000, which is a slight increase from last year.
Well, Corey, before I get into that, I'll put a little counterpoint to you not being able to go to PDAC. I was able to come, but I was pretty nervous the whole time because I'm about to become a grandfather myself, and the due date was before I left. But the baby decided not to arrive yet, so I was able to go to PDAC and take in everything, and we'll find out in the next few days when the baby does arrive. So PDAC looked very busy. The exhibit hall felt very busy, lots of traffic. You had to actually navigate around people, but there was sort of a dearth of investors, you know, retail investors. In my talk I gave on Sunday morning in the newsletter session, it was at a pretty good time, quarter to 11. Plenty of time for people to get there. It was like just a three-quarter full audience. And I would say last year I had a fuller audience, and I don't think it was because I was more popular last year. I think there's just less interest in this sector. So they estimate maybe 24,000 people, which is supposedly a little bit more than the 23,000 last year, but still well below the 30,000 delegates that showed up a couple years in a row, I think in 2011 before, you know, when we had that rebound after the meltdown in 2008, and everything was still chugging forward. So my sense was that, there was a distinct subdued mood at the PDAC, and the feedback I got from companies was, nobody's raising any money, and there weren't really like investors looking around, where can I put the money? And it's evident that there's not been a lot of financings announced. As we talked a couple of weeks ago in January, the top 10 traders on the venture exchange were all cannabis stocks, $3.8 billion worth of cannabis stock traded. And the money has been going more into these non-resource sector. So there was this sense that on the one hand, kind of feels like March 2000 when the dot-com bubble was climaxing. But there's also a sense like, unlike back then, it's our turn. It's the resource sector's turn. But they look at the media during the PDAC week. We had Donald Trump do all this tariff stuff. We had Gary Cohn resign. That caused pretty big volatility in the market. There's a sense that we're not going to get our chance. The global economy will be pulled into a garbage can. And yet there is optimism. We just need to wait maybe another 3 months, have all this tariff nonsense blow over, and then our turn will come.
Yeah, John, that's something that we continue to watch for, is more the end of the year for some more money to rotate into the sector. And I would agree with your outlook that there are not a whole lot of people chasing over themselves to buy any of these stocks. I do find that there are some people watching, but one of my takeaways from the recent shows that I've been to in January, the Cambridge House show, and then even at Brian Lundin's show down in New Orleans, is that there are a lot of precious metals companies. There are a lot of gold focus, still some silver focus, but a lot of the attention has been on more of these hot sectors. Blockchain was actually a big conversation at the Cambridge House show. And again, these battery metals continue to take a lot of investors' attention. Did you see that occurring a lot at PDAC as well?
Well, when you ask people what were the sort of topics that dominated, they were saying, yeah, people were talking about battery materials. And even in the critical metals session on Wednesday morning, which is usually the most horrible session at the PDAC, everybody's hung over from the big blowout on Tuesday night. But it was actually packed with people. People were there. And that's another thing. The party animalism that, usually characterizes the evenings, it was also subdued. People were not celebrating anything. With regard to lithium, there is this concern that maybe the lithium supply problem has been solved. Chile has doubled its quotas. SQM hasn't really acted yet to increase its brine supply, but there's Argentine brine supply coming on stream. And the Australians, through groups like Pilbara Minerals, they will be bringing spodumene, bedrock-sourced lithium on stream. There is still concern about cobalt. And of course, everything boils down to the Congo. All these, the high price in cobalt we have now because, the supply is relatively fixed coming from the Congo, and we have the electric vehicle demand coming on top of all the sort of jet engine and military cobalt-based demand. But the concern is that the supply from Congo will not increase, which is perverse because Katanga Mining, its resources that it just published, it has 20 years of current total global supply, of which Congo provides about 50% right now, at 0.5% cobalt as a byproduct of 3% copper. Now, this is really high rock value ore. So conceivably, they could take care of the rest of the world's cobalt needs. And because of the high price at $39, I think it almost hit $40 a pound this week, there is thrifting going on. A lot of the battery technologies, a lot of work is underway to reduce the percentage of cobalt. Then, of course, there's the larger scale storage battery, sort of vanadium and all these things. So there's a lot of interest in how can we get this renewable energy stashed into a stored form when we have the wind blowing and the sun shining and have it available to feed the grid. Because one of the concerns about the big electric vehicle projections is the grid doesn't exist to actually sustain. And at the same time, we're seeing like an enormous amount of electricity being drained from the grid, from grids around the world by cryptocurrency mining. So, I mean, maybe the projections about electric vehicle uptake are a bit unrealistic, but at the same time, there's reason to look at all these battery technologies to see if we can have longer-term storage from intermittent sources so that we can accommodate the electricity needs that would come with the electrification of the car fleet.
Yeah, there's still a lot that needs to be figured out, I think, around this whole battery metals sector. And growth, I agree, is in the cards. But as you said, the infrastructure still needs to be built out. And we still need to find some consistent supply of these metals. It's in the ground. And some of these companies now taking a new look at old jurisdictions that were more dominant on a different metal, they are finding that, you know what, maybe they might be able to go back into these areas. Still, a lot of question marks around that. John, I'm going to have you back on the next segment. We're going to dive in a little bit more into the precious metals sector and what could be ahead. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camuso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camuso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamusoCPA.com. That's CamusoCPA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Cook, Chief Marketing Officer for Kmart and Sears. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Kmart to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Kmart's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I am continuing on with my conversation with John Kaiser. And John, what I want to talk about, again, focuses on the resource sector and more on what's going on with the stocks. we haven't seen much M&A activity. There's been a few deals here and there over the past couple of years, but nobody, again, rushing into any of these deals, outbidding each other. It seems to be one company taking out another company for a nice premium, but usually that's a premium for a stock that's come down quite a bit from their highs. The sector argues that, you know what, we can really get the ball rolling. We can draw more investors in if we have some more M&A activity. What do you think? Do we see any? Do you see any on the forefront?
Well, we're definitely not seeing the aggressive, competitive takeout of junior resource assets, you know, advanced projects, such as we saw in that whole period from 2006 until about 2012, 2013. Since then, the acquisitions have tended to be more opportunistic, as you describe it, companies that have hit the wall, that have run out of financing, that their stock price has declined. They're taken out at a fraction of their peak. And this is consistent with the attitudes of the bigger producers. They're all telling this story to their shareholders that, yeah, we're making a ton of money. The metal prices we have right now are really good. We got rid of all these bad assets that we had acquired when we thought gold was going to 1900, was it going to stay at 1900 before crashing back to 1100. It's now around 1300, which is great for our core quality assets. We've been unloading the marginal assets into juniors. And that's an interesting thing, that the kind of takeover that we're seeing is like projects being spun out into these various Frank Giustra entities, where they acquire the Los Filos project, even the one that Canplatz had found. That project is being stuffed into a junior, and everybody's looking at, well, these things don't really, really work, but there is this preparation being done by the junior side, picking up these things that are optionality, sort of thinking we're going to see a stronger real gold price sometime in the not-too-distant future. The majors are getting rid of these smaller ones that don't work particularly well right now, and they themselves are not moving aggressively on what might be more robust assets, because, frankly, there aren't a huge number of robust assets, and until gold develops an uptrend. Now, this was one of the interesting sort of feedback things that I got from people who were stuck manning the booths, was that although they weren't seeing the regular investors that are usually there at these conferences, they were quite disappointed that sort of high net worth investors, you know, angel types, family office types, they were not there as they usually are. But there was a lot of interest from representatives of bigger companies. So even though the big companies are telling the story that this time we're not going to be fooled by the boom-bust cycle, we learned our lesson from our excesses from 2006 to 2013, they are doing lower-level homework. So it's, again, what we talked about in our first segment. There is this fear that the bust is coming again on the business cycle end of things and the market cycle end, but also this optimism that it doesn't have to happen. We just have to muddle through this chaos coming out from the White House in the United States, that's seeking to totally disrupt the global economy in some sort of crazy effort of making America great again by tearing down the whole world. If we can just get beyond that, we're getting ready to act. And of course, for these companies that have acquired these sort of somewhat marginal producers, they are doing extra drilling, trying to find more resources. And this is another thing that's hanging over the market. Osisko Mining was sort of the poster child starting a couple of years ago when they decided to rethink the Windfall District. They'll by the end of this year, they'll have spent $150 million on basically brute force drilling based on a geological rethink that says this is a misunderstood Timmins scale system. The market's waiting for a resource estimate. They're hoping to see several times the 1.5 million ounces that they already had from the 20 years of prior exploration. But more importantly, Those 1.5 million ounces, that was 8 grams per ton. And you think, well, that's really, really good for underground mining. Yet a PEA done in 2014, it wasn't worth developing. So the market's also going to want to see something that in the new domain models they've come up with on these projects that, yes, it works at $1,300 gold. We not only do we have three times, four times as many ounces, but they are in the money. And the stock chart's telling us it's not happening. But part of that may be simply the delays involved with, like, processing 180,000 meters of core. Everything's taking longer. The labs have been backed up. So, again, we're in this kind of funny limbo, almost at an inflection point, but not sure that we're going to inflect up rather than fade away.
Yeah, that seems to be the concern for a lot of investors, and I think that also plays into the fact that we are in a pretty brutal five-year bear market, and that bounce in 2016 is almost looking like a dead cat bounce in terms of still being unable to reach some of those levels and the drastic sell-off that we had. John, maybe just another quick comment. Talking about optionality, are you leaning towards that when you hear companies say this is an optionality play? If gold gets up to 1,400, 1,500, then this is worth a lot more. I find that we hear that almost too much in this industry.
There aren't really that many projects that clearly benefit. The one I follow that's my top gold optionality pick is Midas Gold Corp with the Stibnite project in Idaho. And, you know, they've got about 4 million ounces slated for production over an 11-year mine life. But when you look at the scale of everything there and what's not included in the mining plan, of course, the whole thing there is to get a mining plan through approved and this into production. And once it's in production, that messed up valley gets reclaimed. Lots of good things happen. Mining does good things rather than bad things as it did in the prior 50 years. You will be able to expand production or at least extend it well beyond 11 years. $1,300 gold, it's kind of interesting, pretty good. But at $1,600 gold, it's a no-brainer. But there aren't that many of these projects out there to look at. And the ones that are these rethinks, for example, the Windfall District, I mean, that's controlled by a very powerful group and has Bay Street backing. But there's been other projects such as, say East Main, which a couple of years ago, a disgruntled group kicked out Don Robinson and Kathy Butella and took it over and spent a lot more money doing it so-called properly, and yet the stock is cheaper.
All right. Interesting comments there, John. I appreciate the recap that you provided us, plus, hey, some of those insights into if we do start to see some M&A activity.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Happy to report that in this segment I am chatting with Joe Mazumdar. He is Brent Cook's partner over at Exploration Insights. And Joe, what I want to talk to you about is financings that have been happening in the resource sector. There haven't been a ton of financings that are taking place, but some of the big financings, especially around PDAC that we saw, pretty much already spoken for. And again, a lot of these financings, if they are a good deal and if they are a good company, seem to be taken immediately, not leaving much room for retail. Some of the financings that we saw at PDAC included Victoria Gold, where Orion Mine Finance and Osisko Gold Royalties came in for about $500 million Canadian in debt and equity, more of a mine building finance rather than anything else. Plus, we also saw Cobalt 27 Capital Corp. They closed a private placement with, again, 11 banks and brokerage firms to raise about $200 million Canadian. These are some of the big deals. We can get into some of the smaller deals in a bit, but the overall financing environment for the metal sector, it's tough right now, except for a couple select companies who can announce a deal and immediately close it. Is that what you've noticed?
Yes. Well, I would say that, like, if we look at three major demands for equity, potentially, institutional, retail, and private equity, and we add another one, which would be strategic. So let's look at
those four in terms of demand for equity. And if we stick to exploration stage companies, we have seen a rise in the strategic demand, meaning companies, producers looking for, looking to fund companies to help them find something that they could stick into their own portfolio. So we've seen a big rise in that. We've seen the private placements by Goldcorp, by Agnico, by Kinross, you know, Newmont, Barrick, Newcrest, into junior companies, giving them money to help them advance projects that this major producer may be interested in. So that's been a big rise in that component over the last 12 to 18 months, and that's something we discussed in our presentation at the recent Metal Investment Forum called The Art of the Deal. I would say the other component would be private equity, and that would go to your point about Victoria Gold, and that was more like a typical portfolio of financing where they not only do debt, they do an equity portion, they also do a royalty and sometimes an occasional stream. That's still alive and well, but there's not a lot of development projects, I think, out there that they can service. And the last one was Victoria. We know Continental Gold did one like that. Pretium Gold previously had done something like that. And Lydian as well. So, and the other component would be the battle between retail and institutional. And we know with institutional equity, their asset under management has basically halved, and their issue is that by they would actually have to sell a position to actually generate funds to purchase a new position. And that can be problematic if the positions they have are illiquid. So there's not a lot of institutional money moving around, especially in Eastern Canada. The other portion is retail, and at PDAC, anecdotally, a lot of the booths have not seen a lot of retail traffic. The companies we know, they've seen a lot more strategic traffic looking at the assets rather than looking specifically at the company's equity, if that helps.
Now, do you think the lack of retail also has to do with the fact that some of the good financings, again, get closed so early there isn't a real opening for some of the retail investors who have money on the sidelines to actually get into these companies?
Yeah, it is problematic because, the financings that do happen tend to happen for companies who are in the right commodity, which happens to be the flavor of the month or the year. In the right jurisdiction with good management teams, which is basically what you'd like, they can fill a book really quickly with a bought deal or even through a private placement that's non-brokered because they've basically already gone to the people that they're allocating it to and closed the book. We've seen that where books have closed in a few minutes and oversubscribed. I mean, we're not talking hundreds of millions, but we're talking people that would want 5 to 10 and got more than that. But the allocation to retail appears to be limited because a lot of these companies want to close the transaction really quickly. And I guess the way they look at it is they could do paperwork with one person or one institution rather than 50 to 100 retail for the same amount. In the end, this could bite them with respect to them complaining about liquidity and stock movement if their stock is held in too few hands that are more long hold and the stock really doesn't generate any liquidity on a news event. So companies really got to understand how they want their capital structure sometimes when they do end up financing so they understand what the capital structure is going to look in the future, and then they don't complain later that, that the stock's liquid, and then they look, and there's only four people that own the stock.
Well, they'll probably complain anyway, no matter how that all plays out there, Joe, but the fact of the matter is there are a couple things at play. When you put shares in tight hands that are long-term hold, then, yeah, you don't generate that liquidity. That can sometimes just scare people away from actually buying the stock on the open market. There's a couple of recent financings of the slightly smaller component that are, again, these very tight financings, one being Fireweed Zinc. We follow them on our site, that financing was pretty much spoken for immediately. And Tinka, a company that you've mentioned a number of times on our site, they just announced a financing that, again, also very tightly held. That has to be a good sign that these companies are able to raise money. But what are your thoughts on these type of companies initially when they do raise this money to cash themselves up for future work?
Well, I mean, you know, to generate catalysts, you need money, obviously. So most of the companies that we're following or we're interested in a bit of cash, but for the programs that they're trying to embark on, might be a 12 to 18 or 24 month plan that they would need, let's say, 5 to 10 million. The issue would be that they might go halfway through their season and find out that they've run out of money. Nobody wants to go to the market when they need to go to the market. And as the adage goes, when the ducks are quacking, feed them. And these companies have enough people following them that when the ducks are quacking, they need money. They understand over the last few years that the equity markets can be fickle, and you don't want to get to a position where you need to raise money when the markets turn the other way and it's impossible to do so. And now you're not being able to generate catalysts, and your next financing might involve a great bit of dilution and you have less options. So people, I think the company-wise, if people are asking for equity and they get enough money that they need, they will take it. As, you know, if you're a non-cash flowing junior, that's the tendency and will continue to be so. But what they're trying to do now is issue no warrants, less of a discount, you know, that sort of thing, and sometimes go non-brokered. So they're trying to lower their fees. They're trying to reduce their exposure to warrants into the future. And we're seeing a lot of that in the market as well.
Okay, let's just wrap it up with a general comment. Do you find it healthy for the market that good stocks are getting financed and they're able to close their books very quickly, and stocks that I think are of a much lesser quality, they're having a lot of trouble? Sometimes financings are left open, some have even been canceled. Do you find that good for the sector?
Yes. I mean, the thing is, we don't think that highly levered stocks, meaning out-of-the-money options, like let's say, especially in the gold environment where, you know, gold's basically trading sideways, should get funded. Because we know that there's been, you know, a couple of 100 million, 200 million ounces of reserves that have already been written off in large companies that can easily come back on if gold goes to 1500.
All right, Joe, unfortunately we are out of time for the radio segment, but you and I are going to continue this discussion for our website. Please visit kereport.com and click on the weekend show posting. This will be segment 3.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Byron King, one of my favorite guests when it comes to chatting about resources in general, not just the precious metals sector, but Byron does cover a lot of very good precious metals companies in his newsletter with Jim Rickards called The Gold Speculator. Byron, I do want to get a general recap from PDAC, from you, on the major themes that you are seeing. I've gotten everyone's opinion, or a lot of people's opinion, on the turnout and the overall mood, but there were a couple themes that you and I have been chatting about off mic that you think were noteworthy. First and foremost comes out of the copper sector. What were you hearing about in terms of copper?
Well, in terms of copper, the big companies are looking for projects. There are numerous projects out there that have grade. There are very few projects out there that have size and scope. And so, in terms of what the majors were looking for, they seem to be shopping around, talking with everybody, but the ones that they seemed most interested in were the ones that have the potential for, you know, for big volumes of output over many years. And copper guys have a different time frame than gold silver guys. Gold silver guys could be thinking, you know, 2, 3, 5 years out. Copper guys can be thinking, you know, 10 and 15 years out. So they might not be thinking about this particular commodity cycle. They might be thinking about the cycle after next, you know. So in that regard, you know, it was good. You saw it reflected on interest in plays like Trilogy Metals up in Alaska or Western Copper and Gold in the Yukon. I mean, you know, they were getting a lot of interest because, you know, they have size. You know, each one stands on their geologic merits, but either one of them, you could say very safely, they have size, they have scope.
So, Byron, talking about maybe potential M&A activity, it's almost been a theme that I've been talking about this week on the site, is the general lack of M&A activity, especially in terms of precious metals, but that carries over to a wide range of resources. You think there's a potential here, maybe in the copper sector, for a little bit more action?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, pound the table and say, you know, yes, definitely, it has to happen. But I think that in terms of the need of the copper sector to replace reserves and the time frames that they're working on, we are probably going to see one or two things come out of it, and it'll be an M&A type thing. I mean, we're not going to see these episodes like we see in the gold sector, where somebody will buy into a company for 9.9% or 19.9%. You know, we see that a lot in the gold silver space, just to, you know, because we're, you know, where the gold mining company wants to let the exploration or the early stage development company, you know, just do a bunch of the work, and they'll put some money on the table and let it happen. Copper's a different story.
Yes, it is. And copper plays, usually they are sometimes much bigger and, again, much longer cycle. So it's interesting to see what will come out of the copper sector. Copper has been pulling back a little bit, but still holding above $3 as we are recording this. There are other themes at PDAC and other resource conferences that now have caught the attention over the past couple of years. And these themes continue to be what are going to be these almost magic battery components. You are hearing about another one that you think could get some traction. Which one is that?
Right. Well, over the last couple of years, a little history here, you know, we've done lithium. Everybody's heard the lithium story. To some extent, you know, people have done the graphite story, although I do think graphite has some legs left to it, because what's going on in China now is that China has historically been a graphite exporter. They're starting to internalize more and more of their production. So non-Chinese battery makers are going to have to make some graphite deals. Again, that's a real, you know, kind of stock picker's paradise out there. You got to really know what you're doing. Cobalt, nickel, you know, those kind of magic metals, the magic battery metals. I mean, those things have started to the investment story has gotten way ahead of the industrial reality. You know, in terms of the supply chain managers at, you know, big automobile companies or big battery companies or whatever, you know. So but the next flavor of the month, and people need to be aware of this and be wary of this, is going to be the vanadium story, because vanadium goes into these utility scale vanadium redox batteries. Vanadium has high valences in terms of the number of electrons that it can gain or lose, so you can actually store a lot of electrons, you know, you can store a lot of energy in a vanadium based reagent, you know, in the right, you know, battery circumstance. But you want to be careful about, you know, the vanadium stories, because there's a lot of vanadium stories out there that have been recycled. They sort of show up every, you know, 5 or 6 years with different promoter and different wallpaper from the Vancouver guys. It's, you know, I've seen a couple things cross my desk already that are vanadium plays that I looked at 6 or 8 years ago that are, that guy's back in play again, you know. And we lost our money on that one the first time. You know, I think we'll pass on it the second time. So, yeah, that kind of thing. So I think the next flavor of the month is going to try to be vanadium. And be careful. So, you know, always be careful with everything, every story. You know, I mean, just, you know, you've got to listen. You've got to ask questions. You've got to really dig in.
I totally agree. Always be careful, especially with these recycled plays. But you just said something there that I think is very important. Ask questions. And there are a certain few questions, especially for these recycled plays, and when you're meeting with a management team that you might not know too much about, or quite frankly don't have the best track record, ask important questions. And these important questions, while it may seem pretty basic, mostly deal with story. Ask about what the company is planning to do in terms of growing the story, and make sure that they have a general and good understanding of what they want to do in terms of time frame and work. Can you take us through why this is important?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, the first couple of questions you want to ask about any story at all have to do with title, permitting, time frame, and money. You know, do they have control of the asset? You know, because if they don't, you know, walk away. You know, can they get it permitted? You know, is it in the middle of some national park? If they don't, if it's in the middle of a national park, it's not going to get permitted. Don't worry about it. Move on. Find something else. You know, what are the time frames? I mean, is it something that you can do in a reasonable amount of time? Because in this business, time is money. And then the next question is, you know, where's your money? How much money do you have? What's it going to cost to do what you want to do? But, and then coupled with that is, what's your model? You know, people can come in with a great geologic story. Oh, we've got this geologic map. Oh, we've got this acreage, and it was all worked up, you know, years ago by Anaconda or Kennecott or Inco or, you know, some Asarco, you know, some famous name from the past. And, you know, yeah. But what is your current geologic model? I mean, way back when, Kennecott, Anaconda, you know, Asarco, they were smart. They had people with brains, you know, 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. Why didn't they develop it way back then? What was the problem back then? You know, so what makes, you know, what has changed in the last, you know, 25 years or 40 years or something to make that thing that didn't get developed a long time ago, why is it developable now? Why, you know, why are you the magic management team that's going to, you know, sprinkle your fairy dust and your holy water on this thing and turn it into the next great mine? You know, I mean, those are the kind of questions. And then when they say, oh, we have a drill hole with these great results. Well, okay, why did you drill that hole? Okay, I'm glad you got these great results, but what is your model? What are you drilling at? What are you looking for? You know, anybody can, you know, go out there and drill a hole or two and, you know, get lucky, you know, but, you know, tell me what is your geologic model, you know, because that's going to control the next, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 holes that you drill in terms of, you know, proving up the model. So these are the kind of questions, these are the kind of thought processes that you want to have racing through your brain as you're examining these companies in terms of, you know, do you want to put your money in there? Because obviously in this investing thing, one of the key rules of investing and investors is that when you put your money in, you want to be able to get it back. And you're not going to get it back if you put it into some company that just, you know, spends it all on, you know, lifestyle and, you know, club dues, or just goes out there and explores by drilling and just, you know, burns up drill bits with your money and comes back with a whole lot of, you know, science experiments, but nothing that they could ever develop into a mine or sell off to somebody who wants to develop into a mine. So I think that, you know, it's kind of a real whirlwind tour through the thinking process, but that's where we're coming from.
Hey, I totally agree with you, Byron. Ask those questions to make sure you understand the strategy and make sure that the company, the management, even understands what they have to go through. I can't tell you how many meetings I've sat through where I said, okay, what is your plan for 6 months, for 1 year, for 2 years? And so much is predicated on, well, we're going to drill, we're going to raise more money, and everything's going to be great, and then we're going to drill some more. And you're saying, well, what about some studies? What about other work that can be done on these projects to grow them, make them more attractive to majors? Because, quite frankly, that is the end game, making sure that these projects are packaged in a way that a larger company would come in and take them out. That's the time when most investors can get their money back and out of a lot of these stocks. But, hey, there's a lot to talk about in that sense. And, Byron, it's great having you on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour. Stick around for the second hour as Al takes on KER Politics. Have a great weekend, Byron.
Thank you very much. Good to talk with you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.